just a traveler. Please tell me what behavioral economics is about, because I read an account of it in popular media, and it says that its central promise of behavioral economics, as applied to policy, is to use people's weaknesses to help them achieve their goals. Do you agree with that account, or would you put in another words?
Well, I think that's mostly right. It's certainly not about taking advantage of people. It's about helping people. So standard economics assumes that people are very, very smart, never emotional, and have no self-control problems. So they never eat too much, they never drink too much, and they save just the right amount for retirement. So we think that that doesn't fit most people. Most people have trouble, you know, balancing their checkbook or keeping a budget, and many of us will occasionally eat too much or drink too much and don't go to the gym enough. So we're about trying to help people achieve their goals. And sometimes, you know, my mantra is, if you want to help people do something, make it easy. So one example is in retirement savings plans, in many countries, people don't join even though their employer matches their contribution. So they're just giving money away. And we were able to solve this problem simply by changing the default and saying, people join unless they choose not to join. And people are very good at doing nothing. So if joining the plan is the default, then 90% of people will join, and that's good for everybody.
Your another mantra, as you said in a previous lecture, is be rational, and suppose other people isn't. Can you elaborate more on this? It's your life motto or something?
Like, yeah.
Life mantra.
Well, you know, so I try to teach my students to be as rational as they can, but not to assume everyone else will be. Mm-hmm. And this is particularly important for students of economics or business to learn, because they sort of learn how economists think, and other people don't necessarily think the same way. So one domain in which that comes up is considerations of fairness. So economists tend to think, well, if demand goes up, then price goes up. And that's a reasonably good rule of thumb, but in the case of emergencies, that wouldn't be very popular.
So, can you name an example of an emergency?
So years ago, Professor Daniel Kahneman and I did a study where we asked people, after a big snowstorm, a store raises the price of snow shovels. Is that fair? And people said no. They hated that. But economists would say, well, that's what you should do. Raise the price and clear the market. But if a store did that, they would not have very many customers the next day. They might sell snow shovels, but then they would be looking for a different store to go buy a rake in the spring.
There is quite a big debate now in the Czech Republic concerning the shadow economy and how to fight it. And what's your point of view concerning this topic and in the context of behavioral economics, how to recommend to fight it? Because, for example, yesterday you have said that you are a supporter of abolishing cash. So can you elaborate more on the measures against shadow economy?
Yeah, I would be in favor of going to a cashless economy. Personally, I'm cashless almost all the time. I just swipe my card, and I don't have a big jar of coins on my dresser anymore. And I think the people object to this. They say, "Well, what about my privacy?" And I think if you aren't breaking the law, then you have nothing to worry about. So, yeah, I would get rid of cash or get rid of everything except the smallest bills, and then force everybody into the real market. And yeah, there wouldn't be some bargains that you can get by paying cash, but actual tax rates would go down because everyone would be paying taxes, not just the law-abiding citizens.
Do you think that the recent financial crisis helped to promote, to some extent, the behavioral economics? Because it may be seen, the financial crisis, as a problem for the mainstream economics, because economists of the mainstream weren't able to predict the crisis. So do you see it as a chance or opportunity for behavioral economists to be more present in the mainstream?
Well, you know, I'm not one to celebrate the financial crisis, which has caused misery around the world, but I think it is the case that many people confidently predicted that something like this couldn't happen. It's not that they didn't predict it, is they thought it was impossible. And that includes Alan Greenspan, the former chairman of the Federal Reserve in the United States, who gave a mea culpa speech admitting that he had underestimated these kinds of effects and thought people would pay more attention to the risk of people paying back their mortgages. So, yeah, I think it was a good wake-up call. I wish we didn't have to have such an expensive one. But many people have learned important lessons.
Currently, governments all around the world are hiring behavioral economists. You helped to set up a niche unit of David Cameron's government. So can you name some concrete examples where behavioral economics is already in the practical measures adopted by those governments? And do you see it as a promising way how to for the behavioral economics to be even more present in people's mind, to those units and governments?
Sure. So one of the early examples in the United Kingdom was we were asked to help a unit of government collect taxes from people who owed money. And they showed us the letter that they sent to people, and we said, okay, we think we might write a better one. And since they were sending out thousands of these letters, it was easy to run experiments. And yet another one of my mantras is, we can't do evidence-based policy without evidence. So one of the simple things is every time we run a trial, we collect data and see what works. And in that experiment, simply telling people that most people pay their taxes on time and you're in the minority of those who don't increased the percentage of people who paid quickly by 5 percentage points. So that brought money into the government much more quickly, saved a lot of money, and paid for the entire team for several years.
Do you think there should be more Nobel laureates in economics getting it for behavioral economics, because we already have two, Daniel Kahneman and Daniel Kahneman. So do you think there should be more winners of behavioral economics?
You know, it's not up to me. My Swedish friends decide that. There have actually been several others. Bob Schiller last 2 years ago is in behavioral finance, and George Akerlof, who's the husband of Janet Yellen, the Fed chair, is a behavioral economist. So there have been many, and I think there will be many more.
Thank you very much for your interview, Mr. Thaler.
Thanks for having me.